You know, it's an accessibility thing, you know, like there are a lot of people who are, yeah, they're late in the game a little bit to come to yoga, but it's because they're scared and they're still uncomfortable, right? So my goal in my life is to make all of these things accessible. That's what I want to create, that we don't need to have this division of science and spirituality. Everybody is welcome to this. We all need to play our role and elevate the collective consciousness.
Hey, and welcome to another episode of Pure Happy Healthy. My name is Leandra Haupt. I work as a model, I'm a techno lover and a 90s fashion enthusiast. And I work as a hypnotherapist and life coach. In this podcast, I'll speak with inspiring guests about modern spirituality, personal development and alternative lifestyle. Hi, and welcome to another episode to Pure Happy Healthy. As you might have noticed, I always switched up an English and a German episode. So today, actually, we would have a German episode coming up, but it's an English episode, and I will explain to you why in a second. I started my podcast in the January of 2020 when I still lived in Australia. So my goal was to stay in Australia for quite a while, and therefore my podcast also was in English, so I could have interview guests there and everyone, my audience there, would understand me. But then, as you might know, everything came differently and I moved back to Berlin because of COVID. And now I have a lot of people I speak to also in German, and therefore a German audience as well. So I started to first speak English with my German guests, but I mean, it's a bit weird, right? Like when two Germans speak English with each other and maybe their English is not so good, so it felt a bit awkward. And I decided to make German episodes as well. So that's why I would always bring a German episode in between, or maybe in the Mindful Mensch session a little bit after that, and then also now just switching up the German and the English episodes. And that got a little bit confusing for me, but also probably for you. And as you might only understand English, you would be confused about the German episode and the other way around. So I decided to split my podcast into two different podcasts, a German and an English one. So I will continue here on the Pure Happy Healthy platform with the English one, and I will create a new one where you, if you only speak German, you can, yeah, probably not understand me right now, but yeah, there will be a German one which you won't be able to understand when you only speak English. So yeah, that's why I will have an English episode for you today. So today I'm speaking with Lily from The Life You Love, and she is a breathwork teacher, but she does so many different things aside from that. And she's one of these people, she's such a powerhouse, and when you see her, you wonder how many hours her day has and how she can manage to do and create all these beautiful things. And also already from her voice and everything, you hear how much energy she has. And she's just such a light. And I met her in a breathwork class and I was amazed by her energy, and I really wanted to get her on my podcast to speak more about it. And today I have her just for you here in the interview. So I'm super, super excited to share this interview with you. We will go very deep into breathwork, where it comes from, what it is about. But yeah, also talk about little life hacks, how to make life better. And I don't want to take too much in advance. So here, let's start with this episode. Enjoy. Yeah, today I have beautiful Lily with me in the podcast. So hi and welcome.
Hi, thank you so much for having me. I'm so excited to share this space with you.
Yay, me too. My first question before we start into the deeper conversation is always, what did you have for breakfast this morning?
Oh, we're just diving straight into the heavy stuff, right?
Depends how heavy your breakfast was.
Yeah, this is true. Well, it actually kind of was. I I admit this morning was not very healthy. I was up at 6 a.m. to get ready for a yoga class, and I rode my bike by a little empanada stand. And so I had a nice, delicious street side deep fried empanada with queso, with cheese.
Oh, so Mexican.
Very Mexican. Mm-hmm. For 15 pesos, you know, it's a great deal.
Bargain. Can you imagine what I had for breakfast? I had a full pizza because...
Oh my gosh. Mm-hmm. From last night that you didn't eat? Why did you have a whole pizza with you?
Because I don't, like I cannot eat gluten in the evening. It gives me a stomach ache, but I love bread. And somehow in the morning I can eat it. So I sometimes buy a pizza in the evening to take away and then I eat it in the morning and it's delicious. I love it.
Hey, I always say pizza is like an anytime type of food. Like sometimes it's even better cold in the morning. So no judgment at all.
So heavy breakfast, I'm in.
Nice. Yes.
Lily, would you like to introduce yourself a little bit to the audience? Like, how do you want to be known and what are you currently up to?
How do I want to be known? What a great question. Well, I would say that my current status in the world is a breathwork facilitator, but I have several years of experience as a yoga meditation teacher here in Tulum. But breathwork is my newest path that I'm really excited to share with the world. Psychedelic breathing, if anyone's unfamiliar, it's very similar to holotropic breath, the circular breathing, and we essentially, with this breath, take people to non-ordinary states of consciousness.
Beautiful. So the first time I have to say that I heard about breath work, I was thinking, okay, breathing. Okay, I do that every second.
Every day, right?
Exactly. Every day, every second since I was born. So how is this actually going to help me create a different state of mind, or how is this gonna help me to move forward in my life? So what do you tell people who think now, like, okay, it's just breathing, what can that do to me?
Yeah, that's a great question. I say to people all the time, oh, like, have you breathed before? And people laugh, you know, I've been breathing my whole life, you know. It's in the title, right? Breath work. It is a lot more work than what you usually do day to day. And most of what we're doing in our daily life is subconscious. We're not aware of the breathing that's taking place. Your breath is a part of what we call the autonomic nervous system. So there are certain systems running all the time, and you don't need to use any brain power for them to take place. Keeping things running, you know, keeping yourself in homeostasis, everything in balance in your body. But what's amazing about breath work, and it's gaining a lot of popularity for treatment of all sorts of things, issues with circulation, with mental health, with all sorts of different health issues, is because you can actually, this is one of the very few parts of your autonomic nervous system that you can alter. So when we start to breathe in this way, we can actually have a really crazy, immense sort of impact on our physical body and our mental state as well. And we can get more into also, it's very complex, like talking about what's taking place in your body and the style of it, but that's sort of it in a nutshell, that you can actually change and affect these regulating systems that we're not really usually aware of taking place in our body.
So it's basically when people think, oh, that sounds a little bit woo-woo to me, just like shamanic breathing, but actually, as you said, it can be physically explained what happens, that some physical things happen in our brain and our body. So it is actually like a proven tool to help us.
Yes.
So in which way can breathing or this breath work, as you said, help us for our further development or personal development?
Sure. So let's talk a little bit about, I call my style of breath psychedelic breathing, and a little bit on the history of this. So Stan Grof is one of the original breathwork teachers. He is known for holotropic breath. And he started in the 60s doing studies on actually LSD. So using psychedelics to treat people who had a lot of mental health problems that didn't seem like they were being resolved in the mainstream way, like talk therapy or quote unquote regular medication, right? Socially acceptable medication, pills and that kind of thing. So he saw that there was actually amazing results that were taking place from people using psychedelics. But as we know, in the US, it became illegal in most countries, right, to use these. And he was so discouraged. And in that moment, he thought, oh my gosh, I'm seeing all these benefits. I'm not going to give up. I'm going to find some way to get people to the same non-ordinary states of consciousness, but without psychedelics, without LSD, without mushrooms, right? So he was searching around, looking through, sifting through all these different modalities around the world, and he discovered breathwork. Breathwork's been around for a very long time, and I don't want to say that Stan Grof invented breathwork, right? But he is a huge reason why it has gained so much popularity, and he brought it into sort of the more mainstream world. It's not fully mainstream yet, but he did start to bring it up to human consciousness. We're kind of, our people living in urban areas have kind of heard of breathwork now because of him. And so what's happening in breathwork and in psychedelics and in deep states of meditation is that we are shutting down what we call the default mode network in our mind. Have you heard of the default mode network before?
No.
No. Okay. It's such an amazing thing to learn about. And the more, this is sort of my nerdiness about neuroscience. My background is more in yoga and meditation, but the more I learn about neuroscience, I see it goes hand in hand with what we know in spirituality. And so the default mode network is responsible for how you relate to people and things around you, right? And it's using your memories and your current experience to judge this relationship, right? So if you think about it, this is your sense of self. This is how you choose to respond to things. And so it is your ego, essentially. And so when people do breath work, when they go deep in meditation, when they experience psychedelics, they can have what we call ego death. So this part of your brain, the default mode network, goes offline for a moment and it deregulates your sense of self. And the benefits that we can see from that are that we can reconstruct or look at our sense of self in a much more fluid way. And I know you've probably experienced this, all of us have, where we can get really stuck in a rut about our identity and who we are. And this can limit how we interact with other people, how we live our life, how we go after our goals or how we don't go after our goals, right? And so the huge benefit that I have found from breath work is that we take that ego offline for a moment and it allows you to sort of explore these other ideas of who you might be or who you could be.
Okay. So are there different techniques? You were already talking about the shamanic breathwork. What are the most common breathwork techniques? And could you explain how the breathing goes?
Mm-hmm, definitely. So there's a lot of different types, different styles, different titles of the breathwork. They're all doing essentially the same thing. We are oxygenating our body. We're changing the pH of our blood. And we're shutting down that analytical mind and the default mode network. But I would say some of the more popular ones, transformational breath is very similar to what I do in mine. There's rebirthing breath, and this is more centered around the idea that there is trauma from your birth that needs to be processed. Again, very similar styles of breath work. It's all a cycle. There's no pause or break between the inhale, exhale. In my style, we take two inhales. So first inhale into the belly, second inhale into the heart, and the exhale just falls out and it's all through the mouth. So you can see how very quickly the body is going to become very saturated with oxygen. And you've also experienced it in my class. So I'd say transformational, rebirthing, holotropic, that's by Stan Grof. And there's also biodynamic breath. Biodynamic breath, it's a lot more hands-on. They teach a lot of physical assists, sort of massage-related things, because they believe different parts of the body hold tension. And where that tension is can say a lot about what trauma you've experienced, right? Maybe someone who's experienced a lot of trauma and feel they're not free to express themselves verbally will have tension around the jaw. And they call it the belts of tension. And I'm trying to think, I knew I was forgetting one. A lot of people are familiar with Wim Hof, the Iceman, right? have you done any of this sort of work before?
Have you done the ice bath? With Wim Hof without the ice
bath.
It was in summer, so it was really warm, but it was very intense. 1.5 hours Wim Hof breathing. It was felt very psychedelic.
Yes, it will. An hour of breathwork will get you there on another level. So he's really popular. And if you read about him, there are all these incredible stories like that he climbed, you know, Everest in shorts, you know, without any sort of pants to protect himself from the cold, or that they've injected him with illnesses, diseases, and that his body's immune system has fought all of them off because of this breathing style. With his, a lot of it is with the mouth closed. But really, these are like very minute differences between everyone, right? It's more of the style of thinking that's different between them, less so about the style of breath, I would say. So each one is trying to target something different, whether it's your birth trauma, whether it's mobilizing your immune system with Wim Hof, and with Stan Grof, it's all about reaching that non-ordinary state of consciousness. And this idea that we are our own self-healers, and that in that moment of non-ordinary consciousness, your body, your subconscious is going to tell you what it is you need to process, whether it's old trauma, physical or mental.
Yeah, it's so interesting. It sounds, when you explain it, just like breathe in your belly, breathe in your chest and let it out. It sounds very easy, everything. As we're breathing all the time anyways, it sounds like it should be an easy thing to do. But once you start doing it, it feels actually very, very intense. And
yes,
I've been to your class and I've done some other breath work, like practices before. And every time I do it, I really feel like there, especially in the first minutes, this resistance comes up and I get actually like a lot of anger and aggression comes up. Like, I don't want to do this. Why am I even doing it here? I want to give up and I don't want to continue this. And you're really working through a lot of emotions and thoughts and, yeah, even physical sensations come up. In the end, I always feel very numb. So I don't feel my face or my arms or legs anymore. I cannot really move anymore, which sounds quite horrifying if you hear it like this, but actually it feels really good. It feels like being high or drunk or so. And afterward, it just feels like amazing. It feels like you let go of a lot of drama or whatever has stored up for you. So what are some other common things that happen to people throughout a session? I heard and I felt like every person is somehow reacting differently on the breathing. So what can happen to us while we're breathing?
Sure. I always describe there's sort of three challenges that arise in breath work. And I would say the first is very physical. You described your body. You can feel numbness, right? A lot of people feel tingling sensations, lightheadedness. And some of us even get the lobster claws. People listening can't see what I'm doing with my hands, but just imagine it's exactly what it sounds like. and a lot of people freak out the first time. It is scary. It's scary to lose control of your body. And, you know, we spend most of our daily life trying to maintain control of everything, other people, ourselves, our emotions, situations. And we won't get into how all of that is like a, it's not really authentic control anyway. We're just constructing this in our mind, right? That we have some semblance of control. So in the breath work, I do notice a lot of people have a moment of panic the first time they do it because they feel like they can't control their body. There's a reason that's happening. I mentioned earlier the pH changes actually of your blood during breath work. So when you are breathing in this way, you are tipping the balance of oxygen and carbon dioxide in the bloodstream. So we're having much higher rates of oxygen. And what that does is actually can constrict muscles and blood vessel flow. And that's where these lobster claws or tetany comes in. So some cramping in the muscles, in the hands. It's all very normal. It all goes away. No one walks out of my class looking like a lobster or tangled up. I don't think people would come back if they experienced that. But yeah, that's really, really common. And I think it's important to explain that. I go to a lot of classes and we just jump right in. And I think the more people understand what's taking place in their body, also the safer that they feel. And I think they can go deeper. So that's really important to me that's explained. There is some science behind it, of course. I would say the other things that happen in your body, emotions, a lot of emotions, like you said, anger. And I'm so glad you said that, because someone the other day asked me after class, is it okay to feel anger come up? Because I myself, as a teacher, I often talk about, oh, you might feel sadness, you might cry, you might feel really blissed out and just like high, like you said that day, and feeling really great. But I often don't talk about anger, and it's actually a really important emotion for us to feel, right? Like, anger is trying to draw your attention to something that needs to be listened to, often that's been ignored for a very long time. So yes, anger is totally a normal response, and people need to feel safe to go there. I had someone in my class yesterday, I was teaching on for the full moon, and you know, someone just decided to let out a big old scream during class, you know, and I talk about it before so that everyone in the class feels safe. We're all co-creating a safe space together, because when trauma comes up, this is really fascinating, and you can read about this. They're actually discovering that trauma needs an audience almost. Mm. So you need to feel witnessed. I mean, you can go through your life knowing that you were hurt or wrong, but the minute you have a therapist in front of you that says, hey, I see you, and that was hard. Have you ever had that moment and you feel like, yeah, it was hard, you know, but you already knew that. You already knew that inside, but someone's seeing it, for some reason that just like alleviates a lot of this. I guess maybe it's shame also. Like, we feel we're alone in this trauma, you know? So what I love about group breath work is that we're all there to sort of witness what's happening in ourselves, whether it's the deep emotions and crying, people letting out laughter. A lot of people laugh in class, you know, they feel so great in that moment, or connected to their body, or happy after they've purged really intense emotions of anger or sadness. So a lot of different things. There is no right or wrong to breath work. It's whatever you need to feel come to the surface. That's right for you. So I would say emotion. And the last thing that a lot of people experience, and you touched on this as well, is the resistance mentally in the beginning. And it's hard. I always liken it to the first 10 minutes of going for a jog. You put on your sneakers, you get out the door, you're like 5 or 6 minutes in, and you're like, this feels like shit. Why am I doing this? You look at your watch, you're like, all right, 12 minutes, that's pretty good. I got my heart rate up. And you want to bail on yourself, right? And it's the same with breath, you know? You made this time, you show up, and then 10 minutes in, your thinking mind is like, you know what? This feels really weird. The person next to me is breathing really hard. That's making me uncomfortable. I don't feel great in my fingers or my hands. It's starting to feel strange. And I just want to bail. And when you push through that, you get to this really beautiful space, but the thinking mind needs to be shut down first. And it's kind of like scrambling, like it's drowning and trying to grab onto something. So it's just throwing things at you, any excuse to stop. So I always tell students, keep going, do the work, you know, show up for yourself, because the end, as you know, is so worth it. Mm-hmm. And you feel so good. Just like after your run, you go for 30 minutes, you get home, you're like, ooh, I earned that ice cream today. Or, oh, I just feel like in a totally different state of mind, like blissed out now, you know, but it's tough. It is tough the first couple minutes.
Oh, yeah, for sure. I love what you just said, saying drama needs an audience. Mm-hmm. Such a powerful statement, because I feel like this is very, very true. Like, I wouldn't even necessarily say an audience, but I would say it needs to be spoken out or released in some sense.
100%.
Even if no one is listening, if you just write it somewhere, or if you paint a painting that expresses that for you, or if you, I was just telling you before we started to record this episode, I had a really horrible day and I was just on my bike where there was no one around and I just screamed and yelled. Mm-hmm. Like as loud as I could, and it just felt amazing.
And afterwards. I love that. And that is exactly what breath work is all about.
Exactly.
Right?
And that's just the release. I mean, there was no audience, and I don't necessarily mm-hmm. think there needs to be an audience, but it needs to get mm-hmm. out. That's the thing,
because yes.
we really tend to store so much inside of us. And if it doesn't have a outlet, it just harms yes. us inside in terms of thoughts, anger, maybe even physical pain, diseases, mm-hmm. whatever it might be. And I think especially these classes, if it's yoga or if it's breath work mm-hmm. or even if it's going for a run or going out and screaming, whatever it might be for you.
Yeah, like do it.
it's just good to have the space or to create a space where this is possible. And when I started first going into the yoga and the breath work classes and spaces, I felt so freaking uncomfortable with everyone around me doing these weird noises and having like weird emotions coming up. And I was judging the other people and was like, why are they making all these noises? It feels so uncomfortable. Like, why are they doing this? But then the longer I was in these spaces, I got used to it, and I could also open myself to do the same mm-hmm. because you have this safe space and this environment where you actually free to express yourself like you want. And it actually feels quite good to let it go sometimes. So I feel like breath work is a really, really good and safe space to just let go of whatever emotion it is. Also because you don't see anyone, you have your eyes closed.
Eyes are
you're
closed, yeah.
Just with yourself. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So you were saying breath work is the new yoga.
Yes.
What makes you think that breath work has that potential? I mean, yoga is all over the planet. I think breath work is still not so known. What makes mm-hmm. you so sure that this will be the next yoga?
Well, I think that about, what do you think? Like maybe the last 20 years, yoga has just blown up, right? Like it used to be if you were a yogi, you must be super vegan, crunchy granola, hippie person, maybe some dreadlocks, you know, and not part of the mainstream world, you know. But now it's like so hard to find a person who's never been to a yoga class. If you hear someone hasn't, it's kind of shocking now, right? But there is a point where yoga was very odd, alienating, like you said, groups of people making these weird sounds, right? And making these weird shapes of their body and not really relatable, right? But now, because it's become so mainstream, people see the benefits of it. I worry it's become so mainstream that we're thinking it's just physical benefits now. And there's so much mentally to yoga also. But you know what? Whatever reason you get there, you still end up getting the mental benefits, even if it's the secondary reason. You know, a lot of people accidentally kind of find themselves in meditation because they came to get a six pack, you know, or do a handstand or something. And if they end up taking away meditation, you know, as sort of an afterthought, that's okay. You know,
I love that approach because I think like a similar thing is happening in the vegan movement or in the organic mm-hmm. movement. People buy it or take care of it because it's a trend. It's a trend
totally.
To be vegan yes. or it's a trend to buy organic. But mm-hmm. as long as people do it and do something good for animals and the world, like, I mean, I don't care what your reason is, you know?
Exactly. Like, exactly.
Anyways, if it's a trend or if you do it for yes. your own health or the animals, perfect. Just keep
you're
on doing
still
it.
Like, exactly. Like we're still benefits. Elevating the world and things
and
are getting
yourself.
Better. And yes, exactly. Like if you exactly. came just to wear your Lululemon pants in my yoga class, like, I don't care. That's great. Come show them off. Like, pack yourself in here. I love it. More yogis. So I would say like, the reason I think that breathwork is the new yoga is because it also is so beneficial. But it's really not hit the mainstream yet. So like for people who are so experienced in yoga, this is like the next thing. Like you want to go to the next level. You want to take meditation to the next level. You really want to push yourself. Well, now the new thing I would say is breath work. And I know it's going to become normalized. I know this is going to be something that is going to be in all the studios. And it's because when I teach classes, the response is so amazing. People are so excited about the results immediately. I would say it's almost even more effective than yoga because as you breathe, there's no way to half-ass breath work, right? You can lay on the ground and in Shavasana and close your eyes. And I don't know what's happening inside your head, right? Maybe you're thinking about breakfast or, you know, yeah, your empanada or pizza that you had. And should I have eaten the whole pizza? Am I going to feel that later? You know, but in breath work, you know, like once you get past that 10 minute mark, and I'm there kind of coaching you hardcore to keep it going. Once you pass that 10 minute mark, that thinking brain shuts off and there's just an experience happening and you don't get to sort of tune out. So that's part of the reason I love breath work as well, is you can get the same benefits and get to the same state of mind that it takes maybe a year of regular meditation practice to get to, and you don't need to have those skills. So, and that's why people love psychedelics, right? People love using mushrooms and acid to have spiritual experiences, because it's kind of like me and my friend described, like the trampoline effect. You can just bounce up to that alternate state of consciousness and get a view of like everything going on around you, but then you drop back down real fast, right? And they've kind of been doing some studies on how long those effects last. People with depression, anxiety, maybe they say about 3 to 4 months, you see some benefits, and then maybe it's time to explore psychedelics again. So breath work and meditation have more of a lasting effect, especially if you have a regular practice. And so that's why I want to get everyone on board, just like yoga. You know, you go to yoga every Sunday, like also come and do your breath work every Sunday, you know, get that. It's like years of therapy in one session sometimes for people, that amount of release. So I hope I'm right. And then this becomes mainstream. I hope it blows up.
It will be. I'm also very sure. You already said you're also a yoga instructor, and you do so many other more things. Like, I love people who are also so involved in all kind of different fields. That's also what I do, as you might know when you're listening for a while.
Yes, I noticed.
Yeah. So I would quickly also love to touch on all the other things that you're doing. You're also wrote a book. You're doing a silent disco. You're a co-creator of Om Collective, a place where people can just offer classes and take classes on donation base. And you're also a yoga teacher. So would you like to explain a little bit, what else are you into doing, and what is your book about? What is the silent disco about? Be lovely to hear from you.
Sure, sure. Yeah, when you say it like that, there are a lot of things, but I love creating. I think you're also this type of person, right? Like entering that creative state and also co-creating with other people, I'm so fascinated by that. And I love other people's perspectives and how they change your own viewpoints and your own offerings. You know, tomorrow I'm teaching a class, a breathwork class, with some live music as well. And like, I love how that changes the breathwork experience. You know, I use like pre-recorded sort of set lists of sort of more modern music and electronic music, but tomorrow's just going to be really acoustic and by a cenote. So open water and really beautiful. And that changes everything, right? It might change the experience someone has. And so I love that space of co-creation. I think it's so much fun. It's a space to explore. So yes, I have a few projects. My passion project, I first started when I moved to Tulum. So it's like my baby and I love it so much. And even though it's yoga, and I'm kind of moving a little bit away from yoga and more into breath work right now, but I still teach the yoga for this. It's called Audeo. And this project is what started it all. Oh my gosh, this journey that I've been on in Tulum these last 3 to 4 years. I used to work an office job at a really wonderful museum. I can't say anything bad about it. Great place in San Francisco, the Academy of Sciences. And I was a volunteer coordinator there. But I remember that, you know, I got this sort of management position. I had the little name plaque, you know, and I was like, the salary. I was like, all right, I made it. Like, just waiting for that happiness to kick in, you know, like, let's see, where is it? Everyone's talking about, I have the retirement plan, you know? And then it didn't really come. And I was like, okay, I don't think I'm meant to do this. I don't think I'm supposed to work in an office space. Even though I love the people I work with, and it's an environmental museum and it's doing great things in the world and in conservation. But I just, you know, I realized if I didn't feel good here, I wasn't going to feel good in any office. Right. So me and my partner at the time quit our jobs. He was in engineering, and we moved to Mexico with no real idea what we were going to do. It was just like, you know what? I don't think we're happy. Let's go discover. And it was terrifying. But that's why we called this project Audeo. It's actually a Latin verb, and it means to find courage, to dare, and to do. And that is sort of our motto for our life now. It's like, don't wait. Whatever it is that you want to do, don't be scared about stepping into the unknown and just make it a reality, right? That first step is the one of many that gets you to your passion project. And so this is, we use Silent Disco headphones, and Eric DJs a live set, and I teach a vinyasa style class. We also do breath work now, ecstatic dance, and a hypnosis. I was talking to you because I know you're also a hypnosis teacher, which is wonderful. We'd love to have you for a session, sub. That would be so beautiful. Again, co-creation. Yay. I love it. I love it. I love it. Bring your own flavor, you know? And what we find, and the reason we use this mixture of technology and also ancient philosophy, is that when you use this technology, the headphones, creates a super immersive experience. So people who have trouble focusing in a yoga class, they can go so much deeper. You know, I see people come to my regular yoga class in Shavasana, fidgeting around, you know, having trouble settling. And you put a pair of headphones on them, and for beginners especially, wow, I just see such a difference. You know, and they come up to me after and they say, wow, I think I get what Shavasana is supposed to be now. It's like, oh, yes, amazing. And I told you also, you know, it's an accessibility thing. You know, like there are a lot of people who are, yeah, they're late in the game a little bit to come to yoga, but it's because they're scared and they're still uncomfortable, right? So my goal in my life is to make all of these things accessible. That's what I want to create. That we don't need to have this division of science and spirituality. Everybody is welcome to this. We all need to play our role and elevate the collective consciousness. So I like to sort of bridge these gaps. So that's why we're using the technology there to sort of give people like, ooh, there's a DJ there. Okay, I'll go check it out, you know? And then they get there and we're like, haha, it's really just yoga. We gotcha.
Wear your Lululemon pants and show them off.
Yes, exactly. We got you. You and your Lululemons. No judgment, by the way. No judgment about Lululemon. They're very nice.
And no commercial.
They give discounts. No. They give discounts to yoga teachers. I can't hate on them. You know, that's pretty nice.
No commercials in my podcast.
No. Yeah, free publicity for them. Yeah.
Pay me, Lululemon, if you hear this.
Yeah, there we go. Yeah. You owe some royalties over here. So yeah, that's one of my projects. And yes, in Tulum, I did help start Om Collective. It's a donation-based yoga studio here in Tulum. And that was sort of inspired by the fact that, you know, you're a yoga teacher here. You're a foreigner, you teach English, and there's a lot of privilege that comes with that. And the classes here, we were just talking about, you know, they're like $20, 400 pesos. And the people who live here, a lot of them make 200 pesos a day, $10 a day. How on earth is that ethical to say that yoga is going to cost twice your daily salary and put it all in English? I mean, we're not even trying to mask the fact that it's not for locals, right? At that point, like you can't even argue any way around that. And so me and my really amazing friend, Jessie, she said, you know, I want to start donation-based yoga. And what's the deal? There's nothing in Spanish for these people. It's not accessible at all. I said, yeah, you know, we go and we go teach these classes, and maybe there's some responsibility there that comes with that privilege to give back. And so in the beginning, I helped get everything off the ground for this amazing studio. And you've been there now. It's crazy. We used to have someone donated a rooftop space. You know, you could hear construction and parties going on. And sometimes no one would show up, right, to these classes. And now to see this studio and to see it packed to the brim, like 25 people all packed in. They put in wooden floors, renting a space. It's beautiful. You know, and like, it's one of the primary yoga locations now in Tulum. It's just further proof, like Audeo, you know, get out there and just do these things you want to do. The only thing holding you back is this perception you have in your mind for whatever reason that you're not good enough. You don't have enough money. You're not prepared enough. You're not experienced enough. Like, throw those guys out the window and just start taking steps towards doing it. Everyone's faking it anyway. right? Like no one has this all figured out. Come on, you know? Someone at some point decided, you know, I think I know enough, have done enough, have enough money to make it happen. And they did. And that's the only thing, the only difference between someone who's made it and someone who hasn't. That's mm-hmm. it, you know? They decided they were enough, you know?
There's a really good saying. It says, better done than perfect. And I think mm-hmm. that's really yes. also like highlights what you just said, because mm-hmm. if you never started because you have all these fears, you will mm-hmm. always strive for perfection, and the perfection never comes, because you, when you think you're there, there is the next step ahead where you think, I could still improve this and still improve this. So you will never go out there and do what you actually want to do, but
exactly
start something, and then mm-hmm. you actually develop over the path. And of course, if you look back, maybe you say, oh, I wouldn't have done this now, but like a year ago,
yes,
that was okay. And now I do it differently because I've learned on the way, and there will be next year when
absolutely
you say the same thing. So I love,
I would hope so, right? Like, I hope you look back and you're a different person a year later. I hope that for you, but better to be a new person who's grown and made a bunch of mistakes to get there than the same person just privately, you know, judging yourself or feeling like it's not good enough. I remember I met this guy who's like, I'm a music producer. Oh, great. I'd love to hear so. Oh, it's not ready. You know, and I knew him for years and it was never ready. And you know what? I bet you it was beautiful. I bet you what he did was amazing. But he was just so petrified by this idea of perfection, right? And perfection is driven by fear, unfortunately. Like, we don't like to say that, you know, it's very vulnerable to admit that. But this perfection, this not enough thing, it's a fear-based way of thinking. And we need to let that go. And also, I love when I see people now sharing their failure stories. You know, at the beginning of every Audeo class, me and Eric talk about how we came from, he wasn't DJing, I wasn't teaching yoga. Like, we were working in an office and then we moved here and we had no idea what we were doing and we had no money. Okay, like, we were living in a terrible little concrete prison cell here in Tulum for a couple thousand pesos, just like making it work. And we need to show these sides so people aren't so scared, right? About they don't need to be perfect, because none of us are. Like I said, we're all just faking it till we make it. Mm-hmm. You know?
Yeah, when we, of course, we all have our idols, maybe people we see on social media, or maybe people we know or met, and we just tend to see the end result of where they are and
yes.
compare ourselves mm-hmm. to that. But we forget that they also have a story behind that, and mm-hmm. all entrepreneurs and all people who have success, whatever that means for the person or money or whatever, mm-hmm. they had a story behind that. It mostly
yes.
didn't come just overnight. And if it came overnight, even then, it usually has a backstory of years of preparation and practice. So it's so important. And I love that you said that you also share your failing stories, because I think mm-hmm. that's just as much part of life. And I don't even like the word failing, because I think it's basically mm-hmm. in the end, these are like our biggest lessons and biggest growing.
100%.
Because yes. when we fail, let's call it fail for now,
mm-hmm. after, yes.
we know what doesn't work, and then we can do it mm-hmm. differently to see if
yes.
another version works. And if we see it like this, I think life becomes so much easier and life becomes much more in the flow, and you're not so hard on yourself anymore, but you allow yourself to actually go all these paths and experience life. So
exactly.
thank you so much for bringing this up. And I love this Audeo word and concept. It just really, yeah, focuses it so much, like all this beautiful concept. So if someone is saying now, like, oh, Lily sounds super amazing, or I want to hear more about breath work or all the things that she's doing, what's the best mm-hmm. place for people to connect with you online?
Sure. I would say that Instagram is a great way to connect. I'm going to start putting up this week. I'm recording some online breathwork sessions, so you can do them at home. I know sometimes it's weird to go breathe and cry next to strangers, so you can do it at home in your bed and have a nice hot shower after and feel safe in your space. So I'm going to be putting those out soon, and my book also that's coming out. And they can find me at Instagram. and the Instagram handle and TikTok. I'm on TikTok now, I guess. Like, yeah. That's the next thing. Like, I'm like, it's we call ourselves like, I know you got to do it. I always say like, I'm the elder millennial, you know, the ancient millennial. And I'm just like struggling to make TikTok work, but I'm also on there. And both of them, my handle is The Life You Love. Sort of inspired by this like idea of like, live the life you love, pursue the life you love, be brave enough to take that life that you love. So that's where they can reach me. And also if you're interested in our classes with Audeo, that's also on Instagram, and that's audeo.official. It's A-U-D-E-O. It's kind of like audio, but Audeo.
I will link it up in the show notes so everyone can click on it and find it. Is there any last thing that you, or like a piece of advice that you would leave the listeners with?
So many, but I don't want to take up so much time. I would say the thing that I have come away with that has been so impactful on my own journey, because I know there's a lot of people probably listening that for some reason are not taking this next step in their life, right? Not being brave enough to like leave a relationship, right? Or to start some project or whatever it is. I think don't be afraid to fail, and don't be afraid to say that you don't know. It's so important, I've realized, to be okay with when things don't work out, and to also say, I don't know. Because when we're operating from a space, and we have a lot of pressure in society to always say we know, right? Like, we don't like to admit that we don't know what's going on. It seems weak, right? Again, with the failure seems weak. Oh no, it didn't happen the way I set out, so it's not valuable to me. This is such a wrong way of thinking about things. And the minute that you admit that you could do something better and that you didn't know is where growth takes place. If I think I already know, how is there anything I can learn? You've just stopped yourself from a learning experience. And like you said, the greatest learning opportunities come from when things don't work out the way you thought they were going to, right? And then it changes and it evolves and you evolve also as a person. So if in anything, it doesn't matter what it is, like the book you want to write or that relationship that you're struggling with, or maybe you don't have a relationship and you want to find that relationship, just start to get curious about what you don't know, and don't be afraid to make mistakes. I would say those are like my biggest, like most impactful learning moments for me these last couple years. And I'm still working on it, right? I still have moments where things don't work out the way I wanted, or some collaboration falls through, or whatever it is. But like you said, take a moment and think back, like, where were you a year ago? Like, be so excited about the state you're in right now. You're never going to be there again. This is it for that moment in your growth, you know, whether you're in caterpillar chrysalis or full-blown butterfly, whatever it is, like, appreciate where you are and try and see like, okay, and how can I grow more as a person? Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid to grow.
And this is why you should listen to all my podcast episodes, because you can learn so much from each episode. Like, I hope at least.
Yes.
That's why I do it. I learn so much from my guest, and I hope I can transfer so much of all the knowledge and the inspirational conversations and bring them out there to the world. So I also learned so much again today with you.
Oh, it was really inspiring. Beautiful.
So thank you so, so much for being here and having this conversation. And I'm so excited.
Thank you.
Coming out.
Thank you for holding space. I also want to say, like, there's something to be said for all of these people that are holding space for other people to share. And I love this year. I've seen so many more podcasts and so many more online classes. And like, what you're doing right now is making all of this so much more accessible, right? I know there's a lot of people in lockdown still right now, and they don't have access to classes. They can't go somewhere. So thank you so much for making a space where people can grow and learn just from their phone at home. I think that's so inspirational. So thank you so much for having me and all of these amazing teachers. If this is your first episode, please go back and listen. There's so many inspiring people on here who are sharing their knowledge. So I'm honored to be one of your guests. Thank you so much.